was also able to play chess. I played him a game of chess, and I was going to try and get that in before his memory was totally back so I might win. But he is doing much better, and there is talk of possibly transferring him to Boundary in the next little while. So we would that'd be great for us as a family. Pastoral and congregational review. We've talked about doing a pastoral review for a while already, and so we've come up with a paper. There's a number of different questions on it. There's some just circle the agree, disagree questions. Also, places where you can share comments, and it's also about our church as well. Not only a pastoral review, but a congregational review as well. So I would ask that there's copies in the back, and Haiti also emailed a copy out to you. So if you could fill them out by the 27th of March, that's 2 weeks from now. There will be copies available next week as well. And if you would like to email them, our Marlon or myself email address is on there, or you can just put them into our mailboxes. So we would really appreciate it if you would prayerfully take some time to fill these out, and that will help us in the direction that our congregation is supposed to be going, and also for Rudy and his work in the congregation here. There's also going to be a church council meeting, not tomorrow. I forgot to put an announcement in the bulletin. Not tomorrow, but the 21st, next week, Monday. So just a reminder of that. And we're also working on that church pictorial directory. We're looking at some different Sundays as options for picture taking. So we'll continue to update you on that. Thank you.
A number of people have been asking for copies or tapes of the sermons on the Lord's Prayer. I have taken the messages out of the recordings and put seven of them on a CD. They're available at the back. If you want them on a memory stick instead, you can have them that way as well. Now, if your CD player is more than 10 years old, these might not play on there, but they should play on any computer and any new CD player or DVD player. So they're available.
Are there any other announcements? If you're a guest here this morning, we hope you feel welcome. I know many family members are here from other places. Well, the women's Sunday school class has been studying the book of Daniel. And in one of the first weeks that we were studying this, we were focusing on Daniel 3 and the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their being rescued out of the fiery furnace. The author of our study pointed out three possible scenarios when a person is facing a fiery trial. When people of God face a fiery trial, there's three possible scenarios. The first one, we can be delivered from the fire. In other words, we avoid the fire and we don't experience the fire. And through that experience, our faith can be built. Second scenario, we can be delivered in the fire, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, and our faith in that experience is refined. And finally, we can be delivered by the fire into God's arms. And in that experience, our faith is perfected. Whatever fiery trial you may be facing today, may you know beyond any doubt that God is your light, your salvation, and the ever-faithful stronghold of your life. Could we bow for prayer? God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you today for answered prayer. You are faithful, you are true, you are abounding in steadfast love. We are not alone. You, Lord, are with us. Thank you. Amen.
Good morning. And please stand as we worship God. it.
Thank you for those songs. I'd like to invite the ushers up to take the offering, please. Could we bow for prayer? Faithful God, today we surrender our lives to you. We're overwhelmed with thankfulness today for your grace, your mercy, your power to heal, your kindness in granting restored health to Robert and to Skylar and to Tenley. May our faith be built up through what you've done. We lift up to you those from our church family who are in care homes today. Susan Jansen, Katharina Fair, Trudy Harms, Helen Fair, Helen Jansen, and Jake Rempel. Lord, may they know that they are remembered and loved by you and by us. We pray for your wisdom and your continued protection over those serving in faraway places. For Laura and her family and the church in Kinshasa. For Ryan Thiessen in San Carlos, Murray and Carol in Papua New Guinea, for those who serve in Eagle's Wings in Uganda, for John and Natalie as they serve in Thailand, for Tyler Lowen in Cambodia, for Andrea Fair in Hawaii, for Janessa as she continues her work with the School of the Kingdom, and for Jake and Agatha as they serve in Texas. We also lift up to you those who are preparing to participate in SOAR Heartland. We ask that you would give them steady hearts and your protection as they serve you there. Father, thank you for families who teach their children about you. And we pray for those families who are dedicating their children this morning, that you would continue to strengthen them, that they would know that we love and support them as well. Father, we thank you for your church here in Rosetown. We ask that there might be unity among us as we seek you together. And we ask that you would make your will and your path plain to us in our working, in our giving, and in our living. Amen. I want to invite the children forward. Seth has a story for you this morning.
Okay, well, good morning, guys. This morning, I have a question for you. Do you guys sleep with a pillow? You guys sleep with a pillow? Is it like most nights or every night? Do you want your pillow? Every night? Okay, well, I brought my pillows. You guys should test these out. You think this would be a good pillow? Is it soft? Yeah? Is it softer than yours? It is. Maybe you guys have a softer one. Do any of you have a softer one than mine? You do? Okay, well, maybe I need to upgrade. Do you guys ever wake up in the morning and your pillow's all wet, and then you have that moment of, oh no, that came from my mouth? Do you have that where you slobber all over your pillow? No, none of you do? It's just me? Oh no. Well, that's why I have two, so that when I wake up in the morning, I can just flip it over and use the other one. But pillows are a good thing, right? We all really like pillows. I mean, what would happen if we didn't have the pillow? We'd have to sleep with our neck like this, right? That would not be good. So where do you think this pillow came from? Where do you guys think your pillows came from? Probably came from, like, a factory or something, but who cares about that? Probably mom and dad gave it to us, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of good things in life that sometimes we forget come from God. And you know, there's a verse in the Bible, in James chapter 1, that says, every good thing and every perfect thing, it comes from God. And so there's not one thing in this whole world that is good that doesn't come from God. And they come to us all kinds of different ways, but God is the one who gives us good things. So I want to tell you a short story. There's another story in the Bible. Have you guys heard of the guy named Samuel? You heard of him? Well, he was a young boy, probably just a little bit older than you guys. And he was sleeping one day, and all of a sudden he heard someone calling him. Now, that probably doesn't happen to you guys very often, right? When you're going to sleep, mom and dad don't call you. But what if they did? They said, Lindsay, Lindsay. That'd be weird, right? You'd be like, what? Why are they calling me? I'm trying to sleep. But you would go and you'd say, what? What's up? And what happened to Samuel was that the person who he thought was calling him, he didn't call him. He said, just go back to sleep. And so Samuel went back to sleep. But then he heard his name again, and he heard someone calling him. The voice said, Samuel, Samuel. and he went to go see what it was. But the person who he thought calling him, it wasn't him. So he went back to bed, and he heard him calling again, but it wasn't him again. And so, but this time, the man who Samuel was talking to said to him, "Samuel, I think God is trying to call you." So sometimes Samuel, just like us, he didn't realize where the voice was coming from, but it was actually coming from God. And sometimes we have good things like pillows, and we have good things like mom and dad, and we have toys and birthday parties, and sometimes people will tell us we're really good at something, and they'll encourage us. And we have all kinds of good things in our lives. But sometimes we don't realize that we forget that those good things are from God. So tonight I want you guys to realize when you put your head on your pillow that your pillow is a gift from God. And God has given it to you. And there's a lot of good things that Jesus gives to us every day. Every day he gives them to us. And Jake's going to talk about things where God meets us in our everyday life. So remember that God is with us and giving us good things every day. So remember that when you put your head on your pillow tonight. Can you do that for me? Okay, right on. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for listening.
Jonah, I think you have a special number for us.
You've probably heard of different agencies and government agencies, and others will say that if you want to raise a child from 0 to age 18, it's going to cost you about $160,140. That might scare some people off, I'm not sure. But you know, if you break it down and translate that, it comes out to just over a dollar an hour. And what do you get for this dollar an hour? Some have suggested you get naming rights, first, middle, and last. Glimpses of God every day. More love than your heart can hold. Butterfly kisses and Velcro hugs. endless wonder over rocks, ants, clouds, and warm cookies. A hand to hold, usually covered with jam. A partner for blowing bubbles, flying kites, building sandcastles, and skipping down the sidewalk in the pouring rain. And you get to fingerprint, carve pumpkins, play hide-and-seek, catch lightning bugs, and never stop believing in Santa Claus. You have an excuse to keep reading the adventures of Piglet and Pooh over and over again. You can also add another branch to your family tree, and you get an education in psychology, nursing, criminal justice, communication that no college can match. Katharina Gertzen, she puts it this way. She said, "When I really think about it, nobody has taught me more about God's grace than my children. My husband and I have two brilliant and beautiful children, a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and we get to spend lots of time with them and experience lots of the firsts in their lives. But it also seems that for every miraculous heart-melting moment, there's other nerve-wracking, messy, and hair-tearingly frustrating moments that I encounter in my parenting." And she talks about the incessant why questions, the 14-hour road trips, the sleep-resistant moments. It's clear that their exhausted little bodies have been running only on fumes for the past 4 hours. Temper tantrums and being covered with more bodily fluids than I knew ever existed before I had children. A decent night's sleep is hard to come by. And a sleep-deprived, stressed-out, anxiety-filled state of mind isn't always the most conducive to raising highly impressionable, independent-minded, yet highly dependent, sleep-deprived young children. Sometimes she says, "I really wish I would have been able to handle the situations at the end of the day different than what I do." But she says the amazing thing is that it's never failed that the next morning my children were always overjoyed to see me. And the smiles the next day conveyed nothing less than the complete joy and unconditional love for me and my presence with them. This is a love that is infinitely beyond anything I could have asked for or deserved. It has always been a blessing and a gift that I continually need to be reminded of. Thomas Merton says, "Life is a great gift, not because of what it gives us, but because of what it enables us to give to others." And Sarah Winger Schenck adds, "The children don't allow me to give in to despair. Their plucky, joyful spirits stir up hope and defiant determination within me. There will be a future because Jesus has the last word, and Jesus is always on the side of the children." We're blessed this morning to have parents who are willing to come for a parent-child dedication. And I would ask them if they would be willing to come to the front for Travis and Ashley and for Ryan and Jody. Would you come, please? Travis and Ashley and Jody and Ryan, we rejoice with you today in the gift of these, your children. Like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought them for dedication this morning. It is your privilege to guide them in such a way that they will fulfill God's purpose, that God has a purpose for them. We know that. We believe that. And you have been given responsibility and commitment to guide them in that. We ask that you would teach your children in the instructions of Scripture. Invite them to public and private worship. And by example, can you lead them into something that they would know of the love of God and the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? I would invite you to answer two groups of questions. Do you bring this child in the act of dedication into the desire that they may grow in the love and knowledge of God? Do you dedicate your home as a safe place where the spiritual nature of your child can unfold and grow? And by teaching an example, will you lead your children so they can respond in faith to the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
And secondly, do you accept the trust that God places in you for the care and nurture of these children? And do you desire, with the help of God and the church, to be faithful to these children as Christian parents? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
As always, we come to the congregation recognizing that these children have been born into not only an immediate family, but they come as part of our family, the church family. We are also part of this covenant, part of this growing together, part of what we do here together with families and with children, to be supportive, to learn, to pray. Do you as a congregation covenant to be faithful, to do your part in being Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, youth leaders, to set a living example of what it means to be God's people? If so, then answer, we will. Will you welcome these children, as Christ has welcomed us? Do you covenant to welcome these children into our worship, our education, and our fellowship? Will you let them know that they are loved and valued by God as well? If so, then answer, we will. And lastly, as we ask and need to ask, and promise each other that we will pray for each other, that we will not cease to do that, will you support these families and these children in your prayers before God? If so, then answer, we will. Rowan Hayes, you are a special little child. You are special and important to God, to your family, to this congregation, and to your parents. May the Lord bless you today and throughout your life. May God's upholding, encouraging, and sustaining love guide you in the right paths so that you can grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of God's people go with you today and always. Amen. Skyler, Jay, you are a special little child. You are precious and important to God, to your parents, to your family, and to this congregation. May the Lord bless you today and throughout your life. May God's upholding, encouraging, and sustaining love guide you in the right paths, so you may grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of God's people go with you today and always. Amen. Can we read together from the screen our commitment to these family and the form of the child blessing that we have read before? Can we read this together? You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to provide a loving and caring home, where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task both joyful and fruitful. Let us bow to pray. Gracious God, you have given to these parents and to this church a special gift in the form of Ryan Hayes and Skylar J. Let us see these children through your eyes and guard that they may, as they grow in years, they may also grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, serving you faithfully for as long as you give the gift of life. Almighty God, you are the source of all wisdom. We ask that you would guide and uphold these parents so they would be able to carry out their responsibilities by loving care and listening ears and by example. May they be able to lead these children into a life of faith. Bless us as a congregation, that we may not cause others to stumble. By our life together, may our influence be a light on their path. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who called the children to himself and who blessed them. Amen. God's blessings to you. Blessings, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah. God's blessings to you. Thank you. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good, good. And to you. You bet.
Hello. This next song might be a little bit new to some of you, but maybe not, I don't know. So try and follow along if you can, and hopefully catch on. Please stand. Sing is How Great Thou Art. So you can page 535 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 19. That's going to be, I'm reading from the NESB version, so it might be a little bit different than what is going to possibly be on the screen. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and guards, in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up, quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed through the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And he went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." Then he left and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there.
Encounters with God. I titled my message, "Do We Want Them or Don't We Want Them?" On the surface, we may say, "Oh, of course I want them." But do you want to be a Peter? Caught up in that? When we think encounters with God, what would be the first thing that comes to mind? Let's hear a few examples. What comes to mind when I say encounters with God? The glory of the Lord.
Revelations.
Healing. There's different ones that come to mind. It's interesting how it goes different avenues immediately when we sense that. At our church retreat, Walter Hebert talked about encounters with God. And one line that particularly caught my attention was, some of us might only have one or two encounters with God in our lifetime, those big encounters. Some of us might never see them. And my mind started worrying on that thought right away, and I said, well, hold on a minute. Isn't there daily encounters with God, though? Yeah, there's those big ones, there for sure. Some of the first ones that come to my mind when I think of those big encounters with God are the ones that we read about in the Bible. Saul to Paul on the Damascus Road. What about Elijah on Mount Carmel? Surely that was a big God encounter. The thieves on the cross. Moses and Pharaoh both had encounters with God. What about King Nebuchadnezzar that Kathy mentioned already, and Daniel and his three friends? Very different encounters. Then there are any number of lepers, crippled, lame, blind, and even some already dead during the Jesus time that encountered him in a very real way. Some of these changed their ways greatly from having experienced these encounters, while others seemed to be totally unaffected by them. Some recognized the Master, and others either couldn't or wouldn't. Jesus himself had that encounter with God on the Mount of Olives, when he prayed for the cup to be taken from him, yet not my will, but yours be done. These are all very worthy encounters, for sure. But don't we have a God that meets us in the everyday moments of life? Or is it a dry, godless span in between these big God encounters? I love the scripture that Gary read for us. Thank you for that. We have a few different versions of God encounters right there. Right after James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod, Peter is arrested. Herod realizes that he's earned some serious brownie points with the Jews by offing this other guy, this James guy. So Peter is next. You can just see the thought process happening in Herod's mind. And I don't think Peter is stupid in any way or naive to think that I might get out of this. I think he kind of very well knows where this is going. Why else would you have 16 soldiers guarding one prisoner and double chained? Doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't need any soldiers there if he's double chained. Well, he's not going anywhere. But what I find fascinating is that Peter is sound asleep the night before the judgment. How can you sleep? How can you sleep at a time like this? But he's sound asleep. The church, meanwhile, is praying. I'm praying fervently. I like that word. My Bible says earnestly. He goes from being sound asleep to being awakened by an angel's light and a kick in the side. Get up, Peter. So you wonder whether the thought of these clanging chains as you get up isn't going to awaken somebody or make somebody aware that something's going on. Are they not going to see and hear and intervene? But he gets up, the chains fall off, the doors and gates open on their own, and off he goes. Only once he's a block away does he realize this is not a dream, this is for real. Off he goes to the front of the house where many people are gathered. The servant girl, Rhoda, doesn't know what to do with answered prayer, though, and leaves Peter outside knocking. This encounter has left her amazed beyond her wildest imaginations. She is quite overwhelmed, but insists that it is most definitely Peter out there. Her report to the people praying that Peter is there gets her a "you are out of your mind" response. I looked into the Spanish version, and the Spanish says, "Estás loca." You are completely gone. Like, we should take you to a different house somewhere. Kind of crazy.
They obviously just can't deal with this encounter. They don't know what to do with this. Peter keeps knocking, and when they finally do open the door, they realize, hey, this girl actually knew what she was talking about. But notice the three different responses to God, to that God encounter. Peter, sound asleep. You would think that he would be the one that would be fervently praying there and, God, get me out of this mess. He's sound asleep, completely relaxed. The church is praying. Rhoda can't answer, doesn't know what to do. This baffles her beyond. The church doesn't even believe that this is possible. Why are they praying? Different encounters. How often do I run from an answered prayer because I can't believe it is actually answered or have difficulty accepting the answer? I may not like everything that my encounter with God brings, but I want to still choose that. I really don't think that Peter jumped up and down for joy at volunteering to be the next in Herod's plan. I was challenged a few weeks ago to write down a glimpse of God, an encounter with God is what I termed it, every day. And wouldn't you know, you can actually find them every day. I want to tell you a story of a young couple that I met 20 years ago in Bolivia when we were on our MCC term of service. Quite an interesting young man. I met him, first of all, quite before I met his wife. His name was Johan Paitas, a very well-known name. Approximately 35 kilometers outside of Santa Cruz, where we called what we called home. Carl took me there on one of our first excursions into the colonies, and he wanted to kind of show me the way, the ropes and the way around, and to who his contacts and where he was had been. So we went to Shintol, Campo Uno, to the store, general store. Johan worked the store. Johan was not what you would call the typical old colonist Mennonite. Yeah, his dress code was bib overalls, the hat, the long sleeve dark shirt. He was dressed to the T, the way an old colonist was. But upon meeting him, Yun realized very quickly that there was something about this young man that was just different. He treated everybody alike. It didn't matter whether this was a Kamba or a Kolya or a gringo. Kamba, for you non-Bolivians, is the indigenous native Bolivians, kind of what we would call the First Nations here. Kolya is that mixed with Spanish conquistadores blood. And then there's the gringo, you and I. And it didn't matter whether who walked in the store, we were all treated the same. And that was a little uncommon for an old colonist. Johan worked this store. And for you of you, those of you who have been to a general store, you will kind of know the sights and smells and sounds of a general store. For those of you who don't, I'm going to give you a little bit of a glimpse. These stores carried a little bit of everything. And I mean everything. Groceries, ice-cold soft drinks in glass bottles, by the way, Coke. Kitchen utensils, pots, pans, and of course, bread pans, which Mennonite home is complete without bread. We have cloth for the making of clothes and blinds and bedding. Shop tools, parts, gardening tools. We have no electricity in these colonies, so of course there's, you name it, how many versions of flashlights and propane lanterns and oil lamps and all of that in between. We have harnesses for the one and the two horse buggies hanging from the rafters, throw in some dolls and such, scooters and a few other supplies, a few air rifles for the boys, hats of numerous sizes and for the boys and men, for the women and the girls. And the ribbons for decorating the girls' hats has to be a key ingredient. All of that combined in one store. That's where Carl took me. So we bought a cold Coke, a little tin can of sausage, some dry crackers. That was our lunch, and we visited with Johan. Johann had a heart for farming. But since colony land was all taken up, there was no chance for him for that. So he took what was available, and that was running the store, and he was good at it. Over the course of the next year or so, I stopped in Scheintol's store whenever I was in the area. When the colony purchased a large tract of land, now this was about 160 or so kilometers outside of Santa Cruz, way out in the middle of the boonies, Johann was able to get a piece of that land, and off he went. He moved there into the rainforest jungle with his wife and young family, and that's where I next caught up with him. Towards the end of our time, I really wanted to go and say goodbye to him. I had really learned to appreciate him and like him. He was a valuable young sounding board, and I could sense a deep sense of friendship in this young man. So I jumped on the motorcycle and headed out, planning to be gone for a couple of days, and I would be up overnighting somewhere. I had no plans in place where, but somewhere I would find a nice lodging. My first stop was in Manitoba Colony, where he had moved to. And yes, you guessed it, I found the new general store and went to visit it. Much smaller than in Scheintol, but that's where I found some people. So I started visiting and asking questions, and I found out very quickly where Johann lives. And I made my way through back roads, I made my way to his yard, and I got there around 2 p.m. It was a blasted hot day, dare I say. The Mennonite colonies told me later that it had been like 44, 45 degrees Celsius that day. It was hot. I got to the yard around 2 p.m. Johann had been out on his back 40 on steel wheels on the tractor, getting ready for spring planting. I greeted Mrs. Peters, who came out, and asked whether Johann was at home. Well, no, he was not. He was out there. But would I do her a favor? I said, sure. Would I go with my motorcycle to get Johann? She was concerned about him. All day out in that hot sun, his water would long be gone, and it wouldn't be good for him out there. It's only a couple of miles from their place, but on a tractor with steel wheels, you don't necessarily trek those couple of miles just for the fun of it. So I did. I went off across newly deforested ground with my motorcycle, and Johann sat laughing on his tractor as I approached. He said, there's only one loco that I know drives this way. He recognized me. And I said, well, your wife sent me to get you for Faspa and Terere. And he says, she is a good wife to me, far better than I deserve. So we went back to his yard, had Faspa and ice cold Terere, and that's where I learned to drink it. They were curious whether I was now heading back home. I sensed there was a deeper question underlying that one, but I didn't know what it was. But I said, no, I had no intentions of going home. I was staying for the night. I didn't know where yet, but I had an open invitation somewhere else in that same colony that I was always welcome. But I hadn't even been there to see whether they were home. Well, he says, that settles it. You're coming here for night. I said, well, hold on a minute. I argued. I says, you have a small little house. That house was like 16 by 24. That might even be stretching it. That was not a big shack. Two rooms, they have three small children. Where am I going to sleep? And what do you have for me to sleep on? He says, Dad, you let me worry about that. That was an invitation, he said. This is what you're going to do kind of thing. Okay. So after agreeing, I went back, took him back to the tractor, and I went to do a few other errands and made my way back to their yard by supper time. He helped clear the dishes, which was to me another little flag. Something's going on with this man that's different. So we did the dishes. He helped bath the kids. Another little flag. What's going on here with this man? Johann grabbed two chairs and asked me to grab a third. Oh, I guess there's a neighbor coming for a visit, was my first thoughts. We walked out of the house, which was still very warm from that day, and Mrs. Peters joined us for that visit. I really had not met her before this. I didn't know who she was. But she joined us for the conversation in the evening, and we sat outside till just about midnight visiting. And they were loaded with questions. What do you do in Sunday school? What do you teach in school? What is your church like? What are women's roles in church? How can we be the salt and light to this society where we are in? And he says, we treat these Kamba, these indigenous, these First Nations people, like they're dirt. He says, aren't they God's creation just like you and I are? What gives me the right to be superior to them? And she was as involved in those questions as he was. What does Matthew 5 verse 13 to 16 mean when we are supposed to be the salt and the light of the earth? Most people of their mindset would have looked to leave the colony at the first opportunity for more freedom to live out their Christian lives. But this couple chose to stay and use that encounter with Jesus and shine Jesus' light into the everyday life of their colony. That to me was an encounter with God. At the time, I hadn't thought of it as a big deal, but that encounter still sits with me strongly after 20 years. I can't forget this young couple. What a God encounter. What a miracle for me. I've asked Maury and Christina to share some of their God encounters. Some of what God encounters look like for us on our daily walk with God. Maury, would you come up, please?
When I was first asked to share on my encounters with God a few weeks back, my first answer was no. But what was different this time was that I didn't say it out loud. I quickly tried to change the subject, but it didn't take long and the question came back. I still wanted to say no, but I did not. Not sure if it was because I was outnumbered. Looking back now, I have to say God was very present at that moment. The fact that I'm up here right now is proof that God is here again. Without Him, I would still be sitting right over there at the back. Another time that I can think of about when God was very near was August or September of 2004. We were in Edmonton and were experiencing some of the hardest times in our life. I think everyone here knows, but for those that don't, Zoe was born and needed to have surgery. We knew in advance that only half her heart had formed and they needed to operate on her heart to make some temporary changes that would allow her to survive. The next few days they did some tests to make sure she was a candidate for this type of surgery, to which they informed us she wouldn't be. She would need to be put on a heart transplant list. What felt like months, maybe was only a couple of weeks, but in time, she got a couple of infections while on the waiting list, which dropped her to the bottom of the list. Now looking back, this was all part of His master plan. They did more tests to check the conditions of the heart, and again, they felt it would be good to perform the first of the three surgeries. Now for the part that we had not talked about much with very many people. The time while we were on the heart transplant list, we met a family from north of Edmonton. They had just had a baby as well that had more problems than what we had, and we were neighbors with them in the NICU. We watched them go through trials of their own and very quickly found ourselves praying for one another's baby. A few days went by. And then things got worse for their baby. It came to the point where a decision needed to be made. For them to remove the machine that kept this baby alive. As there was no hope for them to continue.